Snackcast brought to you by
Snackcast. All right, here we go. And a one, and a two, and welcome to the Tales from the Long Box podcast. This is episode 182.
Wow.
Spotlight on DC Comics, The Spectre, number one, volume 3, circa 1992. And
volume
hello,
three.
Everyone. I am Cowboy Chris.
Okay, you got one of those little hats on?
I almost got one. Anyway, go ahead.
I am Caleb Gerard with no cool nickname.
And I am Murray Fox.
I just love surprises.
Which is in itself a cool nickname, by the way.
It is. It is. What does the fox say? Anyway, yes. I am Cowboy Chris today because I spent a week in Texas for work. I was all over the place and got me a big haul of comics and probably one of the biggest comic book shops I've seen in my life, I think. Maybe so.
Was it playing country music?
No, there was no country music being played, but there was plenty of gaming and other sundry items. But let me explain why this has to be one of the biggest, because
it's always big in Texas.
Yes. Yes, it is. I went there. It was close to the office where I was working the latter part of the week. And they literally had every single trade paperback that has ever been put out, I think. And it's freaking amazing. Oh, okay. We have a bits and bytes recipe here. We were talking.
No, I'm sorry. I don't know. I what's the name of this emporium?
Oh, let me get. Where's my phone? Here it is. But yeah, I mean, it had stuff in there that I didn't even know existed. But this example, what I picked up, Volume 8, 9, and 10 of Irredeemable, so I have the full run of that I need to read. I have Volume 2 of the trades that are being put out of the series that we're talking about today.
But not Volume 1?
No, I have Volume 1 already.
Oh, okay.
Volume 2 had just come out recently. I have Warlock, the complete collection by Jim Starlin. And the Volume 2 of Guardians of the Galaxy by Jim Valentino, which I had number 1 already. So, no, I don't want to do that. Hold on here. My place is... the name of this was... where is it? Blah, 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 blah. More places. Mad something. I remember that. No, not that either. I'll have to find it, but it's something.
Well, once you get through that, Warlock one, you should hunt up Al again, Al Sedano, and volunteer to be on his podcast.
Hey, that's not a bad idea. Well, crap! I don't know where it went.
You don't even know the name of the story. It was so awesome.
Well, I have a picture of the front. I remember now. But yeah, it was only 2 miles from the office I was at, so and I used the comic book locator app to find it. So
there's an app for that.
Yes, there is. There is an app for that, and it is a very good one, I might add. I don't know where the hell it went, but I do have.
I'm glad somebody had a productive week, so.
Yes, I did a lot of work, too, so, I mean, there was lots of work. Lots of working.
Well, we're having our once-a-decade foggy day in Chandler, Arizona.
So yes.
It's foggy about once every 10 years. And this is
oh, really?
Yes.
Okay, here it is. Madness Games and Comics is the name of it.
Our house in the middle of our street.
But they, I mean...
That's for you, Murray.
I love that song.
They freaking had... I mean, everything. They had omnibuses and... I mean... Oh, Oh, it was amazing. Heaven on Earth, I called it.
They have every choking.
Back issues?
They did not have very many back issues, though. The showcases, they were really light on showcases, which I imagine they sell pretty well.
Those are hard to find now.
Back issues, yeah, they are. You can get them online if you search.
Jesus.
Well, but what fun is that?
Is that whole storefront for that comic book store?
Yes.
Holy crap in a crap basket.
I told you it was big. I have to put a link. Yeah, it is, it's wow. Huge, man. I'm telling you.
It's like a Costco.
Yeah, I know. In fact, I was going to use that analogy. It's like Costco for comics. But yeah, that whole thing. Well, I mean, and they had every single, they had RPG stuff, and as well, and if I was in there a good an hour and a half on Friday. This is in Plano, Texas, by the way. 3000 Custer Road.
How's their customer service?
It was great. They have people walking around constantly asking if you need any help. You know, it was great. And I was in there. The first time I was in there was on a Wednesday. And
Unique comic book day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, and that the background of that image on there, they had the whole entire left wall was comics. Singles. And, you know, the ones that just came out. I got 3 Flash Pez dispensers for the kids while I was there. Oh, yeah. This is the store tour. If you click on that, you can see the inside. I almost bought some shirts, but I didn't. But, yeah, that's how big that place is. And they had Friday Night Magic on Friday. But, yeah, it's a huge freaking store. All kinds of games. It's amazing.
Jesus, it's like seriously, this picture of the gaming room that they have here. Oh my god, I've seen whole stores that are half the size of that.
Yep. It's so huge it's big. It was big. I was in there for hours because you can see where the you know, that's the wall of comics, and they got trades, more trades than I've ever seen in one spot. I'm just speechless. I'm telling you. But I dropped a good chunk of dough in there. That's for sure. And I was like, I told the guy, I said, you know, I have just so much stuff. I can't pack, get everything I want because I can't pack it. It's like, well, I probably shouldn't tell you this, but there's a mailbox place right next door. So, yeah, the guy, he's a good salesman, so.
Which they coincidentally own.
Coincidentally. Yeah, he probably does. But yeah, I'm going to have to.
Look how clean it is.
I mean, it was. It was. It was just like that. And the people there, they were real attentive. And, you know, like I said, they're always ready to just jump in right then and help you. And
God, not a butt crack in sight.
No. I mean, it was definitely our people in there, but I mean, they were all nice and clean and.
Our people.
I didn't want to. I was like, I told him, I said, I didn't want to leave. I don't want to leave. I want to stay here.
Like, I'll work for comics.
And it was literally like 2.35 miles or something like that from the Plano office where I was at, so. Yeah, I was very impressed.
God, look at the size of that Munchkin box. Good lord.
Yeah, they had all kinds of games and stuff, and it's amazing. Giant size dice and that whole counter, so that space with magic cards and stuff, it was the whole mm-hmm. other side. It's huge.
Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah. Yeah, it has to be the biggest store I've ever been in.
Well, look, and the comics are in alphabetical order. They're not even divided by, here's the DC, here's the Marvel. It's just A to Z.
Yeah. Now, on there, they did. On the trades, they separate it by alphabetical order by company, and they have little tabs sticking out from the shelves where all the different alphabets, the you know, letters of the alphabet are, so it was easy to find stuff.
I was supposed to go on a... A training thing down in Austin. I may push for the next one and make a road trip to this place.
Yeah, Austin's is about 3 hours from Plano, but still, it's worth the drive. If you're going to be in Texas, definitely got to go there. And bring boxes.
But they have shipping right next door.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. They sell boxes over there, too. Oh, I was so tempted because they had the 52, you know, remember the Series 52? They had the omnibus of that. I've been trying to find it on eBay for a while, but they had that there, and I almost bought it. The only problem is they don't – it's all cover price. So, I mean, but you're right there, and it's there. So, I mean, that was worth it. So, yeah, I think I spent well over $100 there for sure. All right. Well, let's move on. Move on with this issue here. We have repeat writer-artist combo. I thought we'd covered this already, but then I looked at our archives, and it was the Martian Manhunter number one that we covered a while back from the same – wonderful and heavily, greatly talented John Ostrander and Tom Mandrake. You know, I talked to both of them on Facebook. Maybe we should get one or both of them on the show. That'd be kind of cool. They might actually do it. John Ostrander gave me some writing advice once.
Don't quit your day job.
Yeah, exactly. That wasn't it, but it was pretty. It was still as good. I guess I should do this. I picked it. Is it my turn?
Yeah, man, you.
All right, I'll do it. I'll go for this.
I wanted the glow-in-the-dark cover. You didn't send me the glow-in-the-dark cover.
I tried, man, but that, you know, it was funny. I already had it on my hard drive, even. I don't have any of the rest of the series, just this one. I did got this little search tool I use that's better than Windows, and there it was.
You probably pulled it down when we were looking at Martian Manhunter.
That would I might it. Have, yeah. I also have Volume 1. That's Volume 1 of this series. The first 12 issues is out. You can get it on Amazon. And recently, I just mentioned it. I picked up Volume 2 just came out, I don't know, maybe a month or two ago. And it's got 13 through 22 in it. And there's some other guest artists in there, including Jim Aparo, John Ridgway, and Joe Phillips. Good stuff.
Good Phillips.
Yeah, he did one, at least. I was looking through this last night, and there's some, Jim Aparo, there's some female Dr. Fate in here, and I think I saw a Dr. Occult maybe once, and Zatanna at one point when she wasn't doing backwards magic, which is kind of weird. Which I didn't know she'd ever done that. So anyway, let's get on with this. Beautiful cover by Mr. Mandrake. He does the creepy stuff quite well. And you see the specter with the lightning / Kirby crackle coming from one hand and a full-page skull behind him made from skulls and crossbones. And bones, which it's very creepy. He does that very well, I think. And moving on. And the name of the story is Crimes of Violence. We see, I do believe that is, what the hell is that? And I see I'm blanking on the Jim Corrigan. Yes, Jim Corrigan, which just showed up in Gotham recently, which was kind of weird. Anyway. What was that? No, it wasn't in Gotham. It was in Constantine. That's it, on that TV show. I love that show. And we have a quote. It is required of every man that the spirit within him should walk abroad among his fellow men and travel far and wide. And if that spirit goes not forward in life, it is condemned to do so after death. This is from A Christmas Carol, anyway. The Sigel Bailey General Hospital. This looks like it's in a very nasty, seedy part of town. You see some street thugs. One of them has a skull shaved into the back of his head. Kids playing.
It's actually Siegel and Bailey General Hospital.
Siegel and Bailey? Oh, okay.
Because he was created by
those characters.
Those guys, Siegel and Bailey.
Yes, very good.
Jerry Siegel and something Bailey.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to the wiki and find out. And it's Bernard Bailey.
Bernard Bailey, okay. I didn't know that. That's nice. And we have today joining us with on this issue, John Ostrander, Tom Mandrake. And let's check the recording once more. Just for the... Yes, it is recording. Good. I ain't very anal about that now. Yes. Tom Mandrake, artist. Digital yes. Chameleons, colorist. Todd Klein, the letterer. And Dan Raspler is the editor.
And just as a real side note here, mm-hmm. this February is the 75th anniversary of this character.
Oh, good. They'll probably do... DC's been doing these hardcovers. I've got the one for Batman, and I think I have the one for Flash ordered, but it's... they've done it for Superman, Lois Lane even, Titans, Teen Titans, and Robin that I can think of. There might be more, but it's called... They'll be Superman or The Flash, a 75-year celebration or something to that effect, and it'll have a bunch of stories out through history all collected in the volume in this nice little hardcover. I've got the Batman one around here somewhere in my stacks of stuff that I haven't read yet. So we have Jim Corrigan. He is standing in front of this little hospital that's pretty nasty looking. It's got graffiti, one of the panes of glass is broken, and there's all kinds of people around. So you see he walks in and he's talking to somebody and says Lewis Snipe. His name is Lewis Snipe. And the nurse says, I heard you. Let's see, where'd you bed for? Take the center elevator up to the second. And then he's all of a sudden gone. She second floor. So we see a bunch of people, really old people in beds. Their names there. And apparently there's this lady there. Apparently I think she's a lawyer. No, wait. We'll get to that. Mr. Steiner, hi, I'm Amy Biederman. I'm the staff social worker. Remember, I'm here to help you out. Fill out some of the forms, help you get some of that Medicare money you deserve, if you feel up to it, I guess. Mr. Snipe is right next to him. She pulls the curtain, and then you see in the shadows of the curtain is the Spectre's form, the classic green and white. She says, here, let me close the curtain. It won't really give us privacy, but we can pretend, can't we? The Spectre says, Lewis Snipe, wake up, Snipe. Huh? Who's that? Who's there? And then you see the Spectre for a second, and then Corrigan again with his classic white streak in his hair, his eyes shining.
Does the one in the Constantine show, does he have a stripe in his hair?
No, he did not. He was a New Orleans police detective. They were down there doing something, and he... got involved, and towards the end of the episode, the Zed character, she sees him, and because she's like a medium, and she can, gets visions, and you see him with a green shimmer around him, and two bullet holes in his chest, and you can tell that he's going to die, and he's like, but that's around him. So it's like they give you the impression of him becoming the Spectre. It was very nice. It was like real quick towards the end.
Okay.
But yeah, he was, your classic almost anti-hero. He wasn't quite bad, but he wasn't exactly a good, a good cop either. But anyway. Corrigan says, the name's Corrigan. Remember it, Snipe? And this guy's, obviously on his... in his last days. Snipe says, go away, let me alone. There was a cop named Corrigan. He used to bust your ass regular as a clock. Oh, by the way, this is a okay, kids, cover your ears. No, I'm just kidding. He died 50 years ago. They shoved him into a barrel of cement and tossed it into the river. Remember? What do you want from me? Corrigan says, I want you to remember. Why? Snipe says. Because I'm tired, Snipe. Mm-hmm. Confront evil. That's what they told me. For 50 years, that's what I've done. And the world is no better. The world has only become more perverse in its choice of evils, and I don't even know why. Do you know why, Snipe?
I don't know nothing.
You know more than you're telling. You have secrets, Snipe. I want them. And the lady, she pulls the curtain back. Oh, excuse me. I didn't mean to interrupt anything. Corrigan turns and leaves. I was just leaving. Later, Snipe. That's a nice name for a bad guy. She starts chasing after. Excuse me, Mr. Corrigan. Yes. I'm the staff social worker, Amy Biederman. Sorry, but those curtains really don't keep sound out. Forgive my saying so, but you seem to be a certain amount of pain, and I may be able to understand a lot of what you're going through. He starts to turn and walk away, and there's a real cool panel here because Mr. Mandrake has put skulls in his irises, in his eyes. It's very creepy. Thank you anyway, Ms. Biederman, but I'm afraid I'm somewhat beyond therapy. So she's standing there. Oh, and one of my favorite things that I sorely miss is Thought Bloom. She's thinking to herself, well, Amy, he's just as you like him, pretty cute and pretty weird. Hey! She says, okay, Mr. Corden, I give up. How did you get outside so fast? Well, you know, it comes with that being dead thing. Next scene you see is out in the parking lot. He's standing there. You're looking through the windows of a door, and the guy's got a machine gun in a car. And one of them says, they're here, hit them. And you see a drive-by shooting. And a bunch of people get shot. And he happens to be standing there, and the shots go through him, but hit like a kid and a lady and some other people.
And one guy got it right through the head. Look at that.
Yeah, I know, man. You can see the blood splatter just a little bit.
I'm guessing this does not have the Comic Code of Authority on it.
You know, that's a good question, shall we? You know, it does not. At least not this doesn't.
Well, they've already said ass and showing someone's head, brains going out the back of his head. I'm
yeah, it does not have it. You're right. Okay, jump back to where we were. So you see here, the bullets go through him, and you see a half Spectre, half Corrigan image in the next panel, kind of with a funky border on it. Looks cool. Mandrake is awesome.
Yes.
No! So you see, he goes full on Spectre, and the Spectre takes over. You see the skull and the eyeball again, and close up, which is even creepier. And there's a puff of smoke, and she sees all that. Dear Lord in heaven, call down to the ER! There's been a drive-by shooting outside! We've got to make it maybe a dozen victims down! Stat! Hey, did a little ER thing there. You got to do a CDC Chem 7 and... Oh, sorry. You watched that.
Saline enough. Solutions.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. So now we're back in the car with the bad guys.
It's an interracial gang.
Yeah, you don't see that very often. Joey, go down. Hit him myself. Head back to the coop. Go see if there are any reprisals coming. I don't know, that guy just seemed like he needed a southern accent. I don't know why. And you see...
It was the sunglasses.
Yeah, that's it. You see the driver, he's all freaked out and scared. What the hell? And then in front of the car is the Spectre's head coming up out of the street, the size of the street. I mean, his ears are touching the buildings on each side of the street, so it's like freaking huge. And then the next thing you know, Spectre opens his mouth and they drive right in. That's a real creepy.
He's having a hoodlum snack.
Yeah, there you go. And then you see this big full-page spread, and it looks like the Spectre is doing some kind of... Yeah, that's a beautiful page, isn't it?
Wow. Spectre's, he's doing gangster ballet.
Yeah, he's doing some kind of Fantasia dream sequence going on with them, and they're floating in space. And
I'm all of a sudden I'm hearing the music from 2001: A Space Odyssey.
There you go. Yeah, he's like his cape is space in the background, and some of his cape is like coming off of their legs, and they're floating, and all. Okay, they come back, and man, what's that? Yeah! And he looks. They look down, and apparently from the waist down, they are the Spectre's fingers. You punks bring death to your neighborhood. With guns and drugs, you deal death and you feel nothing. It's time you learned how it feels. And then you see the Spectre, and he's like big gigantic, like he does. And he has a syringe with flames coming out of it, and he shoves it into his arm, and then the flames go up and fry the hell out of those bad guys, and they're going, no! No, man! So, yeah, it's good stuff. And the next scene you see is apparently the car flipped over and crashed, and it's on one of the guys, and he's on fire. Another one's kind of stumbling out of it, and you've got a nice Batman-y flowing cape thing. It even looks like it's bat wings almost. Spectre standing there, and then all of a sudden you can see the look on his face, because, you know, he's slightly remorseful for what he's done. And he fades away. And next scene, you're back at the hospital. The cops are there, and she's thinking to herself, Amy is, I was looking right at him. I saw the bullets pass through him. He was standing right there, but there's no blood. Just what are you, Mr. Corrigan? And then from behind, you hear somebody say, Amy. And apparently it's somebody she knows. Nate, I came over as soon as I heard about the shooting. You okay, kiddo? I believe this is another police officer. A real one. Possibly. As well as I'm ever going to be, Nate, I was inside when the shooting started. Nate, do you know anything about a man named Corrigan? I think he had a father or grandfather that used to be a cop. Why? Do you know? Why do you want to know? Inspector Kane. Oh, hold on a second. What was that? I heard a clicky.
That was me.
Oh. Nice. Why do you want to know, Inspector Kane? If you're going to give me the third degree, I'll want to see my lawyer. Ooh, well, it got cold all of a sudden. Sorry, once a cop, etc. I heard about a detective named Corrigan who went goofy some time back, left the force and became a private detective, psychic or psycho investigator or some such. Bunch of Balzac to me. Now, this is a word that becomes used frequently in this issue, the word Balzac. B-L-Z-A-C. I remember reading the trade and thinking, you know, he says this a lot.
And I remember you remember the previous series that he's referring to. It was, I don't remember who the creators were on it, but Corrigan was a was a private detective, and part of the concept was that it was a lighter tone. It was a much lighter tone of the book. So, sorry.
No, that I seem to remember that. I'm talking about this word, this detective
use. No, I know. I'm making when he's referring to him in a private in as being a private detective as opposed to a cop.
Right.
That's all. That's all, man.
That's all. So you know, they continue. So why do you want to know? Just curious, she says. But do you know if he's still in business or where his office might be? Hey, babe, that's why I have the. That's why they have the yellow pages. This is before the internet was for the children listening to this. There was no cell phones or internet very very prevalent in this time. Things that you actually had to look things up manually. So you know. Now let's see, where are we? We're out in front of some building, people coming out. Let's see. Nice work, Danny. Thanks for working late. It was nothing, Mr. Troft. The old man was saying the other day, you want to watch that young Geller, Troft. He's up and comer, he'd be after your job soon. And the guy says, oh, I wouldn't even think. Care for a workout and a brew? Sorry, but I, and then he's distracted already. Another time then, hello there, because this chick comes out.
Hello, well, that's what, hello, when you,
yeah. Hello there. So, he's, whoever this guy is, he's picking up some flowers, and it was $6, apparently. He's going, knocking on, room 3G. Opens the door, this woman opens the door. Hi, you must be Eddie, I'm Sally. Nice to meet you. Oh, okay, I remember who this is now. You seem disappointed, I guess. Do I look different than you imagined? No, I mean it's okay. I'll just put the flowers in the vase, okay? They're very lovely, thank you. And the lady starts thinking, oh, thought balloons, I missed them. Oh, God, I'm blowing this. Eddie, look, there's something you should know about me right off. Don't worry, Sally. I already know everything I need to know about you. And then he pulls out a big knife. And he's got a creepy scene where he's, you know, got that, you know, psycho killer look. And then the knife is a reflection of her face. You see one tear come from her eye in a big panel, and the roses fall.
He is no Christian Bale, I'll tell you what.
No, uh-uh. And I remember this is going to be very controversial because of if you haven't read this before, I remember now who he's killing. So we'll get to that soon. We're back at the hospital. You see Mr. Snipe, and then all of a sudden, boom! There's the Spectre, and he's hovering over the old man, all misty. What secrets do you hide, old man? And he's slow monologuing here, even though he's a good guy. You're enough like me, hard, ruthless, violent, and as I was when I lived. Why are we like we are, Snipe? You hold your secrets deep inside, close to your soul, defying anyone to take them. I fear the place your soul must be. But there's where I must go. So he does a creepy thing, and he mists into the guy's eyeballs, which is very creepy looking, Mandrake style. So we're in the weird looking landscape, and he's Corrigan, and he's thinking to himself, oh, thought balloons. Damn thought balloons. I miss him. I'm Corrigan again, and this looks something like the city, the way Snipe remembers it. And he's not standing.
It's all cartoony.
Yeah, it is kind of cartoony. You know, it's in the dreamscape. His city, his turf, his soul. So watch your step, Corrigan. Where his power may, here his power may be equal or greater than mine. You know, he's having an identity crisis, obviously. And all of a sudden, somebody jumps out of the shadows and whacks him upside the head. And you hear him say, "Welcome back, Kappa. Welcome back, Kappa. You're not taking me alive." No, sorry. And he screams, "Snipe!" And he's like, got a gun barrel in his face, and he's all red hulky with yellow teeth. Very, very creepy. Then his next scene is Corgan's back in the. He's been that barrel of cement that you heard at the beginning. And he says, "What is. No, this is wrong. You're not supposed to be here. You had nothing to do with my death. You are just a two-bit snitch." And Snipe's all young, and he's got a really, really sleek purple suit, Joker style. So he grabs him by the face and says, "Shut up! What do you know? I had everything to do with it. I fingered you. I sent the tip that brought you to the docks. You're my kill. What for? You come around my turf anyway? I want answers, Snipe," Corrigan says. "I knew your father. I knew your whole family. They were good people, decent, law-abiding, God-fearing." And he's got a Tommy gun in the other hand, and he's covering one eye for some reason, kind of weird looking. But anyway, he's standing there. What did it get him? The old man worked like a dog, and when he couldn't work no more, they tossed him out on his ass. Ma can't pay the rent. Out she goes, even if it's freezing. My older brother goes off and gets himself killed in the big war. Funny how many rich kids were 4F. It's all a con. Nothing means anything. You can get what you can grab, and you keep what you can hold, and that's it. No heaven, no hell, no good, no evil. You got or you don't got. That's all. I'm having trouble reading the broken English.
This is really deep stuff for a...
Yes.
For mainstream comic book.
Yeah. "Finish with cement, boys, and then throw them in the river. I got more important things to do." Yes, this is definitely some social commentary here. "So long, sucker." And then these two minions, they put the mess of cement in there. So this apparently is how Jim Corrigan was killed. At least this time.
They don't look anything like minions. They're not yellow in there.
Yeah, it's true. You're right.
Or dresses.
They nail it shut, toss him over, and then you hear a plosh. Take a drink. They stand there for a second, and all of a sudden, boom, here he comes. Big, huge, giant, Godzilla-sized Spectre. You're wrong, Lewis Snipe. There is a hereafter. There is justice, and you are facing both. And, of course, by this time, the gangsters are crapping their pants. So they start shooting. It looks like energy beams, but it's actually just, bullets. And it does nothing. Inspector raises his big, huge, giant fist and smashes it. Shakoom! Take a drink. I know that's another podcast, but it's still fun.
Marie, it is time for that intervention.
This smashes the dock, but Mr. Snipe, he's, this is his, in his soul or dreams or mind or whatever. Stupid move, you moon-faced son of a bitch! This is my turf. Oh, yeah. There goes that Connors code for sure.
Way gone.
Yep.
Way gone.
We're out there. I'm the boss here. This is my city, and what I want goes. And he's coming up. He's getting bigger than the Spectre is. He's, big time. Yeah, he starts doing some psychic machine gunning, and it's blowing holes in the Spectre's cape as he tries to get down on the ground. And the bullets are nice and round for some reason, but hey, it's in his soul. If he wants round bullets, he can have round bullets.
It looks like
a shotgun.
Look like little moons.
Yeah. Oh, hey, yeah, that's it. It is it. Okay, so that makes sense. I mean, it's his head if he wants them that way, So anyway, and now it looks like flames coming out, and Snipe's saying, I'm already dead, Snipe. And Spectre says, then I'll kill you again. And there's all kinds of chaos going on behind him, and they're standing way above the city. Look well at your world, Lewis Snipe, for it is ending. Your mortal body lies dying, and this vain existence shall soon be no more. Snipe screams, no, this is your doing. I'll kill you. And it's all, I kill you, and it's all Jake, which I assume is slang for everything's going to be cool.
Everything is awesome.
Yeah. I don't know if that's a Chinatown reference or not. I doubt it. But anyway.
It's not. It's just an old
slang.
It's just slang, yeah.
So he's machine gunning him again. It's going through him, and you're an animal, Snipe. You are petty small man, and there's nothing at your core, only a black hole where your soul should be, much like the Republican Party. Sorry about that. A little politics, and you see that panel. You see the Spectre's hands are morphing into something, which they kind of look like guns even at that point. And then, of course, they do turn into 45s. Look upon it and know yourself. So he starts doing the shadow style, hitting him with the 45s, and it goes through him. There's a womb, and then his smoke comes out of his body. He says, empty, nothing inside. And then there's some weird sound effects. Yeah, and schwuck. I think you need a drink for that, too. And it's like, getting by the comics code, schwuck. S-C-H-W-U-U-U-C-K. Okay. More funky. This is where Mandrake does the creepy stuff good. And this guy's spirit is, I think it's imploding. Help me. The emptiness is swallowing me. Fill me up. Okay. And then there's another schwuck sound. Spectre's getting sucked in. We're on page 23 right now. And then schwuck. We're back in the hospital. The misty Spectre comes out of the Snipe's eyeballs. And then now he's Corrigan. Apparently that was too much for Mr. Snipe. Because he looks like he's dead. His mouth's open, gaping eyes are open. I always suspected that part you played in my death, Snipe. I wanted to be sure. I hoped that this would finally settle the score. You were the last. My revenge is done. But I'm still not free. And there is still no rest. And he walks off with the mist behind him. And then that's it. Next, Crimes of Passion. And there's looks like there's a text piece from Mr. Ostrander, and they're talking about the new series. There's some pictures here. Nice. Very nice. Oh.
It's like a preview.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. Anyway, that, it's good. I read the first volume, and it is good. Good stuff. I didn't used to be in that, really care for that kind of stuff, but I really, they do a good job on it. The two of them together, they pull it off, the creepiness. And the cover of the second volume, its name is Wrath of God, shows a very creepy vampire-looking specter with his fist going through the planet. Very nice.
It's interesting when Ostrander was allowed to get away with this series. He actually, since this character, it was sort of like how Ostrander was given the same opportunities like Peter David was over at Marvel, where it was, you know, a toss-away character and said, okay, you know, we just want to hang on to the name for a while, write something. Like when Peter David took over Hulk or X-Factor,
mm-hmm.
That's what happened with Spectre and also with Martian Manhunter. They were, you know, you need to do something with him, and he was allowed to go hog wild, and mm-hmm. he went off in some interesting directions, making, you know, connecting the Spectre actually to God.
Yes, yes.
Making him an angel, and he was able to bring back Eclipso, I think, in this series.
I believe so, yeah. As a matter of fact, in this second volume, I think, I see him right there.
And I guess Spectre was actually, I got to check it out, but he had something to do with Moses and the killing the firstborn of Egypt. I seem to remember something like that. Anyhow, it was very over the top and
Yes.
Not your typical Biff Pow mm-hmm. DC comic book.
Now they didn't get into it in that issue, but I read the rest of it. If you guys are planning on reading, I won't spoil it, but what the serial killer was targeting must have been very controversial at the time as well. Shall I tell that, or do you guys want to read it?
Spill your guts.
Okay, this is spoilers.
It's all Jake with us.
Yeah, if you don't want, you know, pause now. Give me about 2 minutes, and then you can come back, and then that won't be spoiled for you. But apparently, the serial killer was a quote unquote ladies' man. And he slept around a lot, and one of the women he slept with gave him AIDS.
Oh.
So he worked at an insurance company, and he used his ties at the insurance company to find women that had AIDS, and that's who he was targeting.
Oh, and that's what she was just about to tell him.
Exactly. That she had AIDS, and, you know, so he knew ahead of time. So, yeah, when I read that, I'm like, whoa, this is, you know, it's early 90s, but I'm sure that was still – I'm sure that – caused a lot of controversy at the time.
Now, did they call it AIDS in it, or was it just some unnamed disease?
No, they actually called it AIDS. I don't have it sitting here, but yeah, they did. They did call it AIDS because I remember reading it. And I'm like, whoa, what the? It took a couple of victims for them to make that connection, but it was it's good. It was good. He ends up getting involved with that Amy character. To some extent, she finds out who he is, and it's good stuff. I enjoyed it. So,
well, it is Ostrander.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. We do need to get him on. I'm going to have to try to get him on the show.
Asking you shall be answered.
For sure. Him and Mr. Mandrake as well.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yep. Yes, this Madness Games and Comics does have a Facebook page as well. If you're in the Texas area, you do have to. Wow. I missed Peter Mayhew was there on the 17th of January for the opening of the Star Wars comic. They also had one of the Ewoks, apparently. Wow. Amazing.
He's tall.
Yes, he is. He's a big guy. I hope he's. Last I heard, he was in the hospital. I hope he's all right. So that's about it for this week. What are you guys got? Anything? Anything else? Anything?
No.
Anything at all? Anything? Okay.
Nothing.
All right. Let's wrap this thing up. I got my sister and the kids were nice and did not do any laundry while I was gone. So. Luckily,
they left it for you.
Yeah, they washed a bunch. They used all of the stuff that I'd washed last week. So yeah, it's perfect. I got plenty of laundry to do. So and here I was wondering I wasn't going to have anything to do today. So they've got that all.
Excuse me. Today is Super Bowl day. Oh. You have something to do.
Like I care. The only reason I would be watching that was to see the Blacklist episode that comes after. So. But I can at least – well, we don't have cable anyway, but we can stream it today, I remember reading.
So which? Blacklist?
No, the Super Bowl. You can stream – NBC's letting you watch it for free on online.
Well, that's so generous of them.
Yeah, it is. I thought so. I think that's going to start coming – that'll happen more prominently, I think. Nickelodeon's talking about starting their own streaming service. And HBO talked about it. I don't know if they're going to.
They'll do it.
But that'd be be the way to go. Maybe I can actually watch some stuff legally for a change. So anyway, that's about it here this week. And yes, I'm sure I'll offend all the three people that listen to this podcast.
Thank you for suggesting this book. By the way, good choice.
Good. I'm glad.
At least at first I thought you were suggesting the Hal Jordan version, and I was like,
hey. No, because I bought the trade just because of Ostrander and Mandrake, and I'd never read it because that's what I'm at the point in my collecting career is finding things that I haven't read is becoming more and more difficult, and I'm really a big fan of Ostrander and Mandrake both, and the two of them together. I mean, like, how can you lose? And I picked it up from Amazon once, and I was like, yeah, this is good. So I'm planning on getting all the rest of them. I hope they do the entire series. That would be great. Because Mr. Ostrander has some medical bills he needs to get paid for, so, which I'm sure he's fine. He had a bypass surgery not too long ago. So, but he seems to be doing well now.
Good.
Yes. He posts a lot of good, funny pictures on Facebook several times a day. So, anyway, as we were saying, you can email us at podcast@talesfromthelongbox.com, or you can join us on the Facebook group and just do a search for that, and you can find it and let us know what you think there, or you can comment on the actual episodes and let us know what you think. And that is it for this week. And we are out.